Good morning. It's lovely to see you this morning. It's lovely to see you, have you with us. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're really welcome. I hope you've been made to feel welcome already, and do stay around afterwards for tea and coffee and refreshments. It's lovely to see you. If you're back from being on holiday, lots of tanned people about this morning. They've been away and they're looking very healthy, and the rest of us are about to head off maybe in weeks to come. If you haven't been around for a while, it's great to have you back with us. If you're not able to be here with us, but you're joining us on live stream or you're watching on the video later, it's great to have you here too, as we join together as God's people in this place to worship Jesus. I want to begin with some words from Psalm 29 that call us to worship the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. We're going to carry on in the vein of that psalm as we stand and sing together, that we would know more and more of God and his presence and his blessing. The first song we're going to sing is actually poetry written a couple of hundred years ago, so the words aren't always that immediate as you come across them and sing them, but it begins with that idea that we would be in tune, maybe with each other, but that we would be in tune with God and be renewed by him. So we're going to stand and sing, "Come thou fount of every blessing, and then the Lord is my salvation." Let's praise God together.
Calls for songs of loudest praise.
Let's pray to our great God. Let's pray. Our great God, we praise you. We praise you that you are King over all. You're the one who sits on your throne in heaven, and everything is under your command. Lord, we come and bow before you this morning. Lord, we praise you that you are present with us, God with us, right here among us by your Spirit. Thank you that we don't need to go places looking to find you. You are right here. You are right with us. Though, Lord, help us to seek you, not just to simply ignore you as we sit here, but to know your presence and each one of us truly respond to you. And Lord, we praise you that you are invested in us. You know us, you care for us, you want to strengthen us and bless us. You love us as our good Father. Lord Jesus, you have given yourself for us. Father, forgive us where, despite all that, we have been prone to wander. Forgive us for the times our thoughts have gone to places they shouldn't have and have lingered there. Forgive us for the times our words have been unloving and have not reflected you. Forgive us for the times our actions have been selfish. We thank you that by your grace you reach for us and you bring us back to you. Help us to know that and receive that grace this morning, just where we need it. Tune us into you, bind our hearts to you, as we worship you, as we listen to you, and as we give ourselves to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week is Schism. This week is Schism, a club that happens for children of primary school and secondary school age across the different churches in this area. So it begins actually tonight with a commissioning service, which I can assure you now, I didn't know last week, it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock tonight at Cairns Hill. I was a bit sketchy on those details last week. 7 p.m. tonight at Cairns Hill Methodist as a commissioning service, and come along to that and support all those who are going to be leaders in that. But maybe a bit of a show of hands, who's going to be at Schism this week, either as a leader or as a child or as a young person? Who's going to Schism? Big hands right up so I can see. Oh, we've got quite a lot of people. Fab, lots of people come to Schism this week. Well, I've invited three of the leaders just to come and tell us very briefly about what's going to be going on and how we can pray for them. So Phil, come up, join me, and Neil and Kyle, come up. So here, fellas, I'll put you over there and I'll give you a microphone to share. Neil, you can start. That's all good. No. Well, yeah, I do. I'm just preparing you for the
Ask
fact that
Ask me the question.
It's not a tricky one. So, guys, there are three different age groups. And so I've got you across as representing those three age groups to tell us a little bit about what's going on. So maybe, Neil, I'm going to begin with you. Can you tell us what your group is, what age they are, where you're going to be, and what you're going to be doing during the week?
I am leading Hoppers this week. So Hoppers are boys and girls that have just finished P1 up to those that have just finished P3. So I see some of you here and looking forward to seeing some of you during the week. We're going to be at Cairns Hill Methodist from Monday to Friday in the mornings and the afternoons, 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
Now, what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be doing at 11
and 3? Ben texted me and he said, you know, could you tell us a little bit about it? And I thought half the fun of Schism is coming along on Monday and finding out. So I'm going to
that's a great answer. Does that mean you haven't planned anything yet?
We or I? Boys and girls, P1 to P3, could you cover your ears for a wee minute? That's it. If you're near some, make sure their ears are covered. And I can give the rest of you a few clues, because you're not going to be there. We are going to be learning about how God is our King. So it is very important. Our memory verse, which I will see if I can remember.
I'm going to come back to that, because is it the same memory verse across the three? Brilliant. Let's hear what Phil and Carl are doing, and you can practice the memory verse internally there, Neil. Because actually, it's only at the end of the week we need to know the memory verse, isn't it?
We're,
We'll come back to it next Sunday.
Pull your phone out.
Great. So P1s to 3s, Council of Methodists, that's the Hoppers. Lots of fun learning about God as King. Phil.
Hi, I'm leading kids, which is in St. Food Road this year. It is finished P4 to finish P7. We are actually fully booked for this year.
Wow. How many people? Sorry.
We have 80 kids signed up.
80.
With numbers this year, that's the maximum we can take. So we are, thankfully, we're at capacity and don't have a wait list, which is great because it means I don't feel bad telling kids they can't come. Like Neil said, our theme is the King and the Kingdom.
Great. Have you got a memory verse, Phil? Keep that. I'll come back to you. Just remember it, and I'll come back to you. Kyle.
So I'm leading Revo, which is down in Newton Breeda Baptist, which is for people finished first year up to people finished fifth year.
Revo is short for
Revolution. Sorry, no, yes.
It's the cool way of saying revolution, isn't it?
It's the short way,
the short way of saying revolution, yeah.
So we are in different locations throughout the week, but mainly in Newton Breeda Baptist. So we've got morning, afternoon, and evening activities. The morning activities being more Bible-based and getting into the Word. Afternoon activities being a wee bit more high energy, big games and stuff like that. And then the evening activities being more of a youth club style with a bit of a testimony in that slot as well.
Great. So across the week, lots of games and fun happening in different age groups in different places. This big theme of God as the King and the Kingdom and how that works out. Guys, you're conferring there beautifully. Just
making sure it's the same. Yeah.
Great. So tell us the memory verse. What we're going to be focusing on. Yeah. Well.
It's change. No. The Kingdom of God is near.
Do you want the
Bible? Kingdom of God is near. Change your hearts and lives and believe the good news. And Phil knows where it's from.
They're from Mark chapter 1, verse 15.
Mark chapter 1, 15.
Teamwork.
Great. And we know we've been looking at Mark over the last little while, so that's a key verse in Mark and key verse about the kingdom. Repent, God, change your lives and turn around and know the good news. Brilliant. Guys, is there anything we can be praying for during this week? Just maybe one thing each year. Start with Carl and we'll come back this way.
Yep, so I've got three things if you can be praying for us through the week. The first one is wisdom. So with
the older teams, there's plenty of questions and plenty of
difficult questions that often come with that. So just prayer for the leaders as they look to help the kids work through those questions and also during small groups, knowing kind of the things to say and the helpful things to say, and maybe sometimes the times just to sit to listen and hear what the young people have on their hearts. So wisdom in terms of all of that. Second one is safety. So there's lots of things going on, and sometimes the young people can get a wee bit carried away. So safety, that everything goes well, and lots of fun, but also that the kids go home the way that they arrived. And final one is energy. So the week is busy for the leaders, and the kids have a lot more energy probably than some of the leaders do, me included in that. So just prayer that as we go through the week that we can keep our energy levels up and being able to make sure that each session is as good as it can be for the young people.
Thanks, Carl. Phil, anything to add to that?
Yeah. I guess my two prayer points I wrote down were, one is obviously the weather isn't forecast to be great on Monday and Tuesday, but if you could pray about it, we'll see what God does. And secondly, my other prayer point was just that we are able to reach kids with God's word, with God's message, just that throughout the week, as we interact with them, that they will take something in and learn something more.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, just all that, and that God is at work, that we see hearts and lives changed, and kids getting to know him.
Guys, thanks very much. Thanks for sharing a bit about that. We're praying for you and all the other leaders and all the kids. We're looking forward to hearing a little bit about it maybe next Sunday morning. Hopefully we'll have some kids up just to actually tell us the memory verse properly. That'd be great. And looking forward to you guys doing it. Great. Guys, have a seat, because I want to tell you about one other thing, and then we're going to pray. As well as Schism happening here, and we're really excited about that, Alistair McCracken was actually telling me during the week about a Scripture Union. So Schism's run by Scripture Union amongst the churches here, but a Scripture Union camp, day camp, very much like Schism, that's going to be happening this week in Ukraine. It's happening at their Ukraine Scripture Union camp in it's just outside Kyiv in a place called Vorzel. Johnny, you've been there before, is that right, with a few other folks just a few years ago? So you may recognize some of these pictures. It's in the snow there, and there's a previous international camp there with lots of people celebrating 150 years of Scripture Union. How exciting that it's happening there in Kyiv, just 20 miles outside in that camp. How exciting the boys and girls will be learning about Jesus there in the midst of all that is going on, and nothing is stopping that. But as we pray for Schism here, let's also pray for that camp happening in Vorzel. You can understand a lot of the boys and girls who are there have been really affected by the war and the situation that's going on there. It affects how they think about things and what they worry about and how they play. So we want them to know Jesus in the midst of that, as we want everyone to know Jesus in the midst of what's happening here at Schism. Pray for safety for them too. And the leaders have to go around and check the campsite, make sure there's not broken bits scattered around. They have to make sure that the shelter is safe in case they need to use that. So lots of different situations there, as you can imagine. Remember leaders like Grigori and Oksana who are leading that. Let's pray for Schism, and let's pray for that Scripture Union camp in Ukraine at the same time too. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the King and you're the King of the Kingdom, and you came to bring that to us and help us to be part of that. And as that memory verse reminds us, you call us to turn our lives around, to look to you and believe in that great news. Lord, we celebrate that week upon week, and we especially celebrate that this week as we think about that throughout Schism. Lord, we're really excited for all that will be happening here and in churches around here this week. We pray for the commissioning evening tonight, that all those leaders who go will have a real sense of you being with them in all they do. We pray for the hoppers and the kids and revolution happening across this week. Lord, we pray for wisdom, for leaders to answer questions well, and to share the good news of Jesus. We pray for safety in all the fun and the games. We pray for energy for leaders and children alike. Lord, we pray that whatever age, people may come away from this week being really blessed and knowing more about you, Lord Jesus, and what you mean for our lives. We pray your Spirit would be at work in it all. And Lord, as we pray for Schism here, we pray for that Scripture Union camp in Vorzel. Lord, we praise you that that is happening. We thank you for those leaders, Grigori leading that, and others like Oksana. We pray that you would give them wisdom and energy and strength in abundance. That we pray for all the children coming to that they may hear and know that you are Lord Jesus in the midst of all that's going on for them. We pray that will be a time of great fun and great safety, and you would bless this week here and in Ukraine and in many other places as people learn about you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during the week at Schism, we're going to be learning about Jesus being a friend, Savior, and King. And we're going to sing about God being our friend. Before you guys leave us and head out for whatever's happening in the halls this morning for everybody in primary school age and below. But we're going to stand and sing, I'm a Friend of God.
Is it true?
this point, just a couple of brief announcements. Just two about people being away. So Moni is now away for the next 3 weeks. Moni, who looks after our office administrator, she's away for the next 3 weeks. So there's not actually going to be anybody scheduled in to be in the office over the next 3 weeks if you're phoning, or usually she's about on a Tuesday or Friday, or dropping in. That doesn't mean there won't be people about at times randomly. Johnny may be about, or Jill, or I may be around at times. Or if you need to get hold of us, please do. But Moni won't be in the office over the next 3 weeks. I'm going to be away for 2 weeks after next Sunday, so I'll be about next Sunday. Then I'm away for the following 2 weeks. During that time, if there's a pastoral emergency, contact Alistair McCracken in the first instance. But Leslie Ann, who we know, Leslie Ann Wilson, she'll be around to cover for any of those if there's any pastoral emergency needed. So she'll be around during those 2 weeks. Just mentioning Leslie Ann, you'll remember that we, back at Easter, a number of us engaged in learning a bit of scripture, and we told a part of the Easter story on Good Friday. One of the things Leslie Ann's very keen on, she was great at getting us doing, was learning a bit of scripture and telling the story, memorizing scripture. And it's from an organization called Simply the Story. So she was letting me know, if people want to take that a little bit further, there's a course going on run by Simply the Story in September in Ballinasloe. I think I've said that right. It sounds a beautiful place in the middle of Ireland then. Ballinasloe, over 2 or 3 days, is a little course going on. If you'd like to follow up a bit, you've got a bit of time and you'd like to explore that a bit more, do contact Leslie Ann about that. Well, there's some details in the announcement sheet too. One other thing to say, Rosa was saying to me, you'll see her around, she's put on the windowsills flowers in jam jars. She said, please take those home and enjoy them. I don't want a scramble and a free fall at the end of the service, but they're there to be enjoyed and taken away, so do that. But can you bring the jam jars or the vases back? She'd really like them back as well. So go and enjoy them for a week or two, but bring them back. Not the flowers, just the jam jars. Well, over the summer, we are looking at a number of Bible characters who find themselves referenced in one chapter of the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11. Last week, I talked about it as a kind of faith portrait gallery. You know, the sort of place you step inside out of the searing heat into a cool air-conditioned gallery to stop and take a look at some of these portraits of people who are examples of faith. And in doing so, as we stop and take a look at these portraits one by one, we're encouraged to keep going in our faith, that summer idea of stopping but keeping going. So a couple of weeks ago, Alistair showed us the portraits of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, but particularly we looked at Jacob, that man leaning on his staff and blessing the generations to come. And then last week, I took us back to the first portrait, the one of Abel. And we thought about that simple but profound challenge of faith. That rather than keeping on plugging away in our own strength, with our own effort and ideas about God, like Cain, the older brother, instead, like Abel, we stop and we wholeheartedly put our trust in what God has provided for us in Jesus. So we're wandering through the gallery, and the gallery audio guide says, it's time to move on to the next picture. And here we're going to be at Enoch. And Alison Templeton, who is the voice of your audio guide this morning for the next moment or two, is going to come with a description of the picture, Bible readings, a description of the picture from Hebrews 11, 5 to 6, and the background story from Genesis 5, 18 to 24. Ali, come and read the scripture to us.
So this morning's Bible reading is taken from Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, and Genesis 5, verses 18 to 24, and I'm reading from the NIV version. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Moving on to Genesis. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Amen.
Ali, thank you very much. Let's just pause and pray for a moment before we continue to think about that. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. Even from the lives of people living thousands of years ago, you speak to us today. Lord, we ask again that we would know your presence with us, that we would hear your voice speaking right into our lives. That you would teach us what it means to walk with you. And that you would strengthen us to do that very thing all the days of our lives and into eternity. So Lord, open our ears and our hearts to you now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here's Enoch. And the thing we're told about Enoch in Genesis, twice in fact, is that he walked with God. He walked with God. We're also told he was taken up to be with God without dying, without experiencing death. And that's what this old picture, I don't know who painted this or where it came from, but I found it, a lovely picture of Enoch being taken up to be with God. That's what that picture captures. But that event, marvelous, miraculous as it was only as a consequence of what marked his life, that he walked with God. Now, the writer of the Hebrews, when they write about this event and Enoch, they read and they translate this as Enoch pleasing God. Enoch pleased God. And we might take the two words as basically meaning the same thing. Walking with God and pleasing God are the same thing. Walking with God is pleasing to God. Trusting God and walking with him pleases him. And to know the joy and the pleasure and the smile of our Father means walking with him. I've been struck just as I've been reflecting on this, and this whole idea, that whole picture of walking with God. And if you take nothing away from the rest of what I say, just reflect on that idea of walking. And that idea of walking used to describe a journey, a life journey, and of walking with someone, and all about the relationship. Think about a walk you've been on recently with someone and what that meant for the journey you were taking and for the person you were with in your relationship. And what that means for our life's journey walking with God and our relationship with him. It's an idea, walking with God, that runs through Scripture. Presumably, Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. We're told that God walked in the garden. Presumably, that happened before it all went wrong, and God ended up walking alone in the garden to find Adam and Eve hiding from him because of their broken relationship. But time and again, as we saw with Mark's gospel, we find the disciples walking with Jesus, learning from him, opening up to him as they went along the road, deepening their relationship with him. It's there particularly in that striking story, isn't it, of the road to Emmaus after Jesus had risen again. And the disciples walking along that journey with Jesus and being opened up to who he is and what he'd done and what that meant for them. Discipleship is pictured in the Gospels as being on the road with Jesus, walking with Jesus. And then there's Paul's words to believers like us, encouraging us to live or walk in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, as he says in Galatians, to walk with God. So here's Enoch early on in the big story of the Bible, giving us the pattern that the writer to the Hebrews picks up. This is a pattern of a life that pleases God, a life walking with God. Here's what I want to do with this picture of Enoch. I want to begin by looking at Enoch's faith from the outside, a picture of faith from the outside, in the big picture, as it were, from the very little we know about him. And as you've heard from the short reading that Ali gave us, we don't know much about Enoch, but what can we say from the little we know about him and what that faith looks like from the outside, walking with God? And there's some big themes in there that stretch right through Hebrews 11. We'll come back to them as we look more and more at these figures. But then I want to look at his faith on the inside. What is this faith that Enoch has, that we're encouraged to have? What is this faith that's at the heart of this relationship with God, of walking with God? What is this faith that shapes his whole life? Well, as I say, we don't know much about Enoch. But as we look at him in this context, we can observe a few telling things. And the first is that when we talk about Enoch walking with God, Enoch shows us that his eyes were fixed on this walk, on a person and a place much greater than this life. His eyes were fixed on a person and a place much greater than this life. Now, you'll have picked up, even from what Ali read, that Enoch was surrounded by people who lived incredibly long lives. Jared, his father, was 962. Imagine that. I was just doing the maths there. That's 21 times my age. Methuselah, his son, was the eldest at 969. Lots of people around him lived hundreds upon hundreds of years. I don't know if you can possibly begin to imagine that. Undoubtedly, we may struggle to get our heads around these kinds of ages in these days. Perhaps we may wonder what to make of that. That is not today's sermon. Come and speak to me again about that. Don't be distracted by that. But the point is, people lived long and fulsome lives in those days. Though Enoch, we learn, only got to the point of 365. I say only in a very careful term, you know. But relatively speaking, compared with the people around him, Enoch was just a young pup. And there are people in Enoch's days, they're building cities. They're inventing music and musical instruments. They're technological pioneers. You can read all about it in Genesis 4 and 5. They're doing amazing things that shape human history. So actually, if you were putting up a portrait gallery, there are others around the time you might initially consider before you were putting a picture of Enoch up. People who lived longer, who made a greater impact on culture and history and human development than him. People of longevity, history makers. Whereas Enoch lived a relatively short life with no particular earthly fame or skills that we know of. But in a world where many think that the whole totality of the walk of life is bookended by birth and death. And all about what we can achieve in that span of years and whether we can just eke them out. Enoch looks to something much greater. Much greater than that span between birth and death. Enoch sets his sights on a person, God, and a place, being with God, that is far greater than this life. And God rewarded that faith by bringing Enoch to be with him into eternity. Now, uniquely, Enoch didn't experience death. Unlike those around him, however much longer they lived, there is no, and then he died for Enoch. What happens to Enoch is, I was going to use the phrase pretty unique, and I know there's grammar pedants out there going, oh, Ben, you can't say that. Pretty, it's either unique or it's not. It's kind of pretty unique, though, because a similar sort of thing happens to Elijah. He's taken up, and Jesus does ascend, having risen again. But pretty unique, isn't it, to Enoch? How it happened, that's a complete mystery. We can speculate that. Was he taken up in a whirlwind? Was he kind of beamed up like Scotty? Did he leave an empty robe behind as he disappeared? Who knows? Who knows? But it's simply there, that moment, to illustrate that when we walk with God, death is not the end of life. Walking with God is something far greater than just this life. Enoch fixed his eyes above all on a relationship with the Lord that we should understand carries on into eternity with God, rather than letting himself be defined simply by his relatively short relationship with this world. Now, for the rest of us, death will likely play its part, unless Jesus comes again soon. But because of Jesus, we can have life in all its fullness, eternal life, a future with Jesus, as life is meant to be, that far exceeds the shortness of this life. As Enoch, and in fact, the writer to the Hebrews says, a great cloud of witnesses, of dead but forever living witnesses, say, life with Jesus begins right now, but continues on to something far bigger than this, a far greater destination than this. It's a reminder to Enoch's generation, and it's a reminder to ours. And it's something that comes up again and again in Hebrews 11. By faith, we believe this life, however good it may be, isn't it. This isn't it. However good or bad, however long or short, whatever you achieve or don't achieve, and there's value in that. But this isn't it. By faith, we lift our eyes so they're not fixated only on earthly things, although this life is everything, but fixed on Jesus and the hope we have with him. And that, as it did for Enoch, shapes life now and forever. Of course, if we fix our eyes on Jesus and understand life as something much bigger than this life, that will set us out of step with much of the rest of the world, as it did for Enoch. He exemplified that. As he chose to walk with God, Enoch chose to walk a different way from many of the people around him. Genesis 6 talks of the inclination of his generation away from God. Lots of people around Enoch, they didn't walk with God. Across his family tree, there in the same generation as Enoch, is Lamech. Lamech, we're told in that chapter, is proud and powerful, with his two wives, his successful sons, his intimidating and violent boasts about what he will do. Enoch treads his path of life with God very differently from Lamech, and possibly in Lamech's shadow on earth. And maybe those around who were building and pioneering ways for the future did so conscious of God, but maybe they worked a way for success, focused only on what they could achieve on this earth, in this life. We can read about Enoch in the letter of Jude, and he's acutely aware of the ungodliness of the world around him. He walked with God when many others walked away from God. And perhaps they made much more of a name for themselves. Perhaps they seemingly achieved or enjoyed much greater things in this life. And so walking with God in this world for Enoch was maybe not always a walk in the park. But he was evidently prepared to walk out of step with those around him in order to walk with God. Again, Enoch in this faith gallery encourage us to be prepared to do the same. So what we see with Enoch is someone on the outside who chooses to let his life be defined above all as one who walks with God. And that's not to knock all the good things that people are doing around, building and achieving and developing in the world then and now. And indeed, how great to have city builders and musicians and technological pioneers inspired by their walk with God to do these things. That's brilliant. But Enoch does show us that walking with God is above all what we should invest in and what should define us. In fact, he shows us that our lives may involve very few grand achievements. They may not be that long. They may be very ordinary, with not much to put you or me in the history books. But whatever their span and whatever their productivity, they're to be lives that walk with God. Enoch shows us something quite extraordinary. What it is to understand by faith that life is much bigger than this, to be prepared to walk out of step with the rest of the world, and yet a life to be lived out by faith in the very ordinary. In the daily living of life, in the life we've been given, long or short, he shows us what it is to walk with God. So we see something from the outside of a life walking with God. But what's at the heart of it? What shapes it? What is that faith that Enoch has that's working itself out in his relationship with God? What does it look like to walk with God? We're told Enoch's pleasing walk with God was only by faith. And we're told in verse 6 that faith means believing God exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Or let me put it this way. Faith is believing that God is present and invested in you and me. That he is present and invested. When the writer says you have to believe that God exists, he means much more than kind of vaguely believing God exists out there somewhere. And tipping your hat to him occasionally. There are lots of people vaguely believe that kind of some sort of God exists out there. But it makes no difference to him. That isn't faith. He certainly means that God exists literally. He is eternally. That is before and above and over everything he's made. And so we must believe that our relationship with our Creator matters even more than our relationship with anything he's created. But I think when he talks about believing that God exists, what the writer means is that God is present. God is right with us, just like a person you walk with. God is present there. He's not distant, but he's actually right there, seeing, knowing, active, able. Right with us in the midst of our lives. All of life is lived always in the presence of God, for good or ill. God is present and matters in every moment of our lives. So by faith, Enoch and we believe much more than that God exists out there, but he's right with us. And we're challenged, I think, as to whether we're sometimes practical atheists. That is, people who say we believe that God is with us, but really live as though he isn't. Who choose to ignore his presence, who idly wander off, who tune out, who lag behind rather than keep in step. Faith that Enoch had as he walked with God, is believing that God is right here and present. In the office, in the kitchen, on holiday at the caravan, when I'm in a mess, when things are great, when I'm sleeping, when I'm not sleeping, when I'm singing praise, when my thoughts are wandering, God is present. And that matters above all to the living of our lives. But faith is also believing that God is invested. And by that, I mean what it says here, that he rewards those who earnestly, who diligently seek him. That he is for us. That he cares. That he's neither distant nor disinterested, but he wants to walk with us. And he wants us to walk with him. He wants to bless us with his presence. He wants to delight in us. He wants to lead us in good and right paths. God is invested in us. For the writer of the Hebrews and for Enoch, that is a bedrock of faith. Not simply kind of blandly, vaguely believing that God loves us and God cares, but holding that the presence and the reward of God is there for us as we seek him in a real up-close, present kind of way, which blows away anything the world can offer. We're not called to walking with someone who isn't really bothered with us, while at the same time we're just kind of feeling a bit obliged. That's not walking with God. We're not being offered a dull walk with a great auntie when something more fun's happening over there. No offense to any great aunties, you know. Enoch had faith that walking with God was a far better investment of his life than anything else, because the God of creation was very present and wholly invested in him and his life. Now, as far as we know, Enoch didn't see God during his life. He just went by faith, I guess, on what he'd heard. But he trusted God. He trusted that God was present with him. He trusted that God was invested in him. By faith, he realized his relationship with God was more important than his relationship with the world. So by faith, he sought God above all else and invested his life in walking with God. And that delighted God. And though Enoch never saw it during his days on earth, nor did any of the others in this portrait gallery who walked with God, and though we don't know what they knew to look forward to, God later showed in the most powerful way that he is present and invested in his people, in you and me. He came to us and for us in Jesus. God is present, God with us. We celebrate at Christmas. God is invested, God for us. We celebrate at Easter. And when Jesus ascended, he sent his Spirit, and we celebrate at Pentecost that God is still present with us and invested in us. So if we believe Jesus by his Spirit is present with us and invested in us, what does that mean about you and me walking with him? Think again for a moment about that idea of walking with someone. Cast your mind to a picture of going on a walk, wherever that might be, with a companion. Think about all that involves and it conjures up for you. Think of the company and the companionship as you walk along together. Someone with you, the presence of someone that's enjoyable, that's encouraging. Even when it's quiet, even when you're not talking, to have someone alongside on a walk. There is God with us at every moment on the journey of life. Even in the lonely and broken moments, God with us. Lonely, but never alone. There is God with us at those moments of temptation when we're prone to wander, offering the encouragement and the challenge and the strength to do otherwise. There is God alongside us in the joyful moments, someone to share them with. to thank for, to celebrate with joy. There's God in the big help me moments, the huge life decisions, but also in the small choices, the daily choices to be godly, the daily grind of life. There is God right next to us. There's no point where the path divides and we go one way and God goes another. There's no point where he disappears for a bit. Every moment in the company of Jesus. Think about how when you walk, you're heading somewhere together with someone. You know, actually, we're not heading towards God from a distance away. We're on a journey walking with God through the places he takes us to the future he's invested in for us. That's a whole different picture, isn't it, from walking towards God to walking with God towards what he has for us together. But it does ask the question about how intentional we are about following his lead, about keeping in step with the Spirit. I guess that's what seeking diligently actually means in this case. Being intentional, keeping close, keeping on his path, keeping in step, not surging off ahead, not lagging behind, not wandering off. How intentional are we about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus? About looking at Jesus and thinking, how does he walk? Let me walk that way. How do people who walk with Jesus walk as we look at saints we know and think, how do they walk? What can I learn from them? How are we intentionally seeking to keep in step? And then think about those conversations you have when you walk. When you go out for a walk with someone, that's always a great opportunity for conversations, isn't it? Side by side, talking together. Walking with someone is really about that deepening of relationship, isn't it? Sometimes it's lovely in the silence, but sometimes conversations open up, don't they? And those conversations, they can range from the light to the deep. God's interested in our lives at every level. We can share in the light-hearted and the joys. But we should also be open to the deep conversations happening, our listening, our learning, our unburdening to the one we walk with. Are we conversing with God? Are we opening up those conversations with the one who is generally present and invested? Are we taking time to listen to the one who wants to speak to us along the way? Sometimes we stop for particular conversations on a walk, don't we? Actually, sometimes there's a particular moment where we say, help me get this sorted before we move on. Or someone says to us, you need to take time to hear this before we move on. Maybe we're in that kind of moment with God. Sometimes it's good just to stop and look back and see how far we've come and be thankful. Sometimes you're just struggling on the journey. It's great to look back and think, actually, do you know what? Look how far we've come. Look how far we've come. Isn't that something to be celebrated and thankful for? Sometimes it's good to deliberately look forward and lift our eyes and realize again that life is bigger than this and remember where we're heading. It's great on a walk to lift your eyes up and realize, oh, it's just up there. There's the mountaintop. There's the coffee shop. There's the car. Yes, nearly back. There's the future we're heading for. Still to come, but it's there. A great place where life is fulfilled and all things are right and good. Maybe together we might ask, what does it mean for us, our Saintville Road, to be walking with Jesus? For us to be a people moving on? For us to take time to look back and see how far we've come? For us to be in deep conversation with Jesus? Sometimes being challenged, but seeking to keep in step. Always conscious that Jesus is with us. Always conscious that Jesus is invested in us. So how are we? How are you walking with the Lord at the moment? Where are things at on that journey? do we believe is present with us and invested in us? Because that will shape our lives. How is our walk with the Lord? What do you need to do? What do you need to ask him to do about that? Let's pause for a moment, just in quietness as we respond to God. And then we're going to stay seated and we're going to sing, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And after that, Alf's going to come and lead us in prayer. But just for a moment, we're quiet before we sing.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you now to bring those around the world and others before you. And Lord, even though it has slipped off the front pages, we are aware of another week of heartbreaking news from the war in Ukraine. Lord, we pray for everyone affected, for all those who are grieving, for those who have lost the people they love, for those who have lost their livelihoods, for those who have lost their homes. Lord, we pray for all the people, especially around eastern Ukraine, who are living in constant fear of bombs landing on their towns, their homes, their places of work. Lord, we pray also for our brothers and sisters in the Christian community in Ukraine as they seek to walk with you, to keep their deep faith in you, even in the midst of pain and suffering and war. Lord, we thank you for the UN agreement this week to restart grain shipments from Odessa. And we pray that this agreement will hold even after the bombing of Odessa port yesterday, and that this agreement will play a significant part in preventing many people around the world from dying from hunger this year. And Lord, we pray for the Scripture Union camp in Ukraine this week. Firstly, Lord, we pray that you will keep everyone safe from harm. And more than that, Lord, we pray that everyone involved will experience the hope of your presence and your love that is so much stronger than hate and fear. Lord, above all, we pray for an immediate end to the violence in Ukraine. We pray for all the political leaders involved, especially President Zelensky, as well as leaders across Europe and America, that you will give them courage and wisdom. And Lord, we do pray that you will bring about a change of heart in Vladimir Putin and that he will stop this war. And there is so much conflict around the world, Lord, not just in Ukraine. So we pray for the people of the Central African Republic, in Afghanistan, Yemen, Myanmar, Somalia, Syria. Lord, there's so many places where fighting and war is causing so much pain and heartache. And just as we have prayed for Ukraine, we pray that these conflicts will cease, that peace will come, and that healing will come too, Lord. Lord, we pray for this country and for this city of Belfast. Lord, we know good governance is so essential for a country and its people to help everyone grow and develop. So we ask that a government will be formed here in Northern Ireland and that you will give our politicians wisdom from beyond themselves in the decisions they make that affect and shape so many people's lives. We pray for the people living here in our city. We pray for those who are hurting, either physically or mentally, will find healing. That those who are searching will find hope. That those who are lonely will find friendship. That those who are heavy-hearted will find newness of spirit. That those who are grieving will find comfort and peace. I thank you, Lord, for this church and for its people. And I pray that you will pour out your blessing and healing and comfort and peace on all of us here today and all who are watching online as we seek to walk more closely and deeply with you, as we seek to deepen and grow our faith, as we seek to grow in our love for you, as we seek to be changed by you, and as we seek to reach out to others for you. And Lord, as CSSM does all those things this week, I pray that your love and presence will permeate every aspect of everything that happens at CSSM, and that everyone who is part of it will experience Jesus in a deeper and life-giving way. May what happens at CSSM this week shape and influence the eternal walk with you of many boys and girls and adults as well, Lord. We also pray for the new Irish camp that Grace is involved in leading this week. We pray that you will bless every aspect of that camp and that you will be glorified as they prepare for their concert in Port Stewart next weekend. And Lord, we now take a moment to bring those who are on our hearts and our minds before you. Lord, we ask that you will bless the Campbell family as they gather for the church wedding of Miriam and Miguel in Spain this week. May they know the joy of reunions and of celebrating the miracle of marriage. And we pray your blessing over Miriam and Miguel this week and throughout all the years of their life together. Finally, Lord, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here in this church. Thank you that you have brought us together as a community of people that you have made saints to live together for you. I ask that you will bless each of us, that you will heal us in the places we need to be healed, comfort us in the places we need to be comforted, challenged in the places we need to be challenged. And that this week we'll experience anew the joy of our eternal walk with you. Watch over each of us as we seek to walk with you throughout the rest of today and the week ahead, and enable your grace and truth to flow through each of us to every person and in every situation we encounter this coming week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Al, thank you very much for leading us in prayer. We're going to close as we sing Lord for the Years, thinking about the one who has urged and inspired us and cheered us on our way and who keeps us for the future as we walk with him. Let's stand and sing together.
Our way, so time.
Well, now may the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us and among us now and forevermore. Amen.